Good morning. Nice little rain we had this morning. We all probably think we could use it. The grass could surely use it. The reading today is from the fourth chapter of Romans, verses 13 through 25. It talks about Abraham and some of his seed. Abraham's wife Sarah also had a handmaiden whom she gave to Abraham when she didn't think she was going to have a child, and that woman had a son called Ishmael, who was the father perhaps of all of the Arabs, and now they consider Abraham their father also. So a lot of the strife in the world was caused because they didn't want to wait till God fulfilled his promise to them, as many of us have probably done from time to time. And beginning at verse 13 and through the end of the chapter. It is not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offsprings, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were, Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed so because that he would become the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb also was dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it is credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So ends the reading.
I'd like to invite the kids to come down if you would. Come on down. Good, good, good. Keep squeezing. Good. There's room. Good. That's good. Have you ever done this thing they call them a puzzle? You ever had a puzzle and you put a puzzle together? And I mean, they're made out of all these little pieces, right? And you have to put all the pieces in the right spot, and then you can see what the puzzle is, right, what it looks like. How many of you have ever made a puzzle but had a piece missing? Yeah, big people too, yes, okay. That always is kind of sad because you go, oh, it's missing a piece, or in some cases, as the puzzles got a little older, they'd be missing four pieces. Or eight pieces, or 10 or more pieces. And then eventually you had to send the puzzle to the recycle bin, where they have to make a new puzzle out of it, okay? Well, if you understand people, and I was going to have a picture, but I don't have it, try to imagine people like a puzzle. And you look at them, and as you look at them, you notice there are some pieces missing. This guy has a missing leg. This guy's missing part of the puzzle piece for his face and his left knee. And you look at that and say, oh my goodness, this guy is missing some pieces. Well, we're going to talk about in the sermon missing pieces and how it's our job as Christians to see if we can help those people get those pieces back. Yes. And What we call it is taking care of them. You see, all of us, no matter how big or small we are, have pieces that are with us, and sometimes they get missing. How many of you have ever lost a shoe? Couldn't find that, you know, I looked all over, Mommy, I can't find my other shoe. Right? You ever done that one? I still do that once in a while, and I don't have a mommy to ask anymore. And my shoe's missing, and I wander all over the house, and I can't find it. Then pretty soon, Mom comes along. Does she ever find it for you? She finds it, and she gives it to you, and you can put it on, and you can run outside, and now go and play, right? Well, that's our job a little bit for big people or little people. If they're missing something in their heart, in their head, in their life, our job is to try and help put those pieces back. Like a mom helping you find your shoe. That's what God has as a job for us. You can help people find the missing pieces in their life, because a lot of time what they're missing is Jesus in their life. And you can help them find that missing piece, or you can pray for something else that they need. Like, dear Lord, this man is missing a job. Please help him find a job. Or, dear Lord, this family needs something like a healthy baby. And, dear Lord, help that baby get better. You see, something's missing, and your job is to find the piece. Now, you listen in the sermon, because I'll kind of be talking about that a little bit, and hopefully the big kids can understand it, all right? So, I got a treat for you. This has got gluten in it, so I may have to find my non-gluten thing, which I left in the other room in case someone is. Bill, can you run there and find, grab one and grab a gluten. There you go. Help yourselves. They're only 4 years old, so they should always check the dates with what I get the kids. Sometimes I remember. Yeah, take two. They're small. Daddy wants one. Yeah, I know. All right. You're welcome. There you go. Take one anyway. Yeah. We'll get you that non-gluten. I'm sorry, honey. Usually I keep them here. If you guys tell me what to get, I can get her stuff she really likes. So. Oh, that's it. It's not perfect, but it's my only non-gluten thing I found so far. Here, sweets. It's not perfect. It's just caramel and crunchy stuff, so it's all right, though. I thought it looked good, so I figured if I thought it looked good. What you missing? Nature of life is that sometimes we feel filled up, complete, good, balanced, and sometimes we don't. And I use the puzzle analogy because it's pretty simple. We've all had a puzzle, put the puzzles together. From little on, you know when you're missing a puzzle piece or you got to figure out how to make something fit. There is this kind of stuff that takes place when you put together a puzzle. Now, I'm not a puzzle putter together. I got friends who do the thousand piecers. I have a few needing psychological examination, the 5,000 piecers. I have enough trouble with the kids. All right, I think that's a dog. Turn it around. That's good for me. I like that kind. But missing. When we're missing something in our life, what do you do? In other words, it can be, I don't have a girlfriend. Oh, gee, what a girlfriend. Oh, my goodness. It can be a boyfriend if you're a girl, obviously, reverse it. It can be, I need more money. Our kids at school, oh, Lord, help me get a job. They're looking for that very first job that they're trying to get. It can be things more serious, like some of the prayer requests. Dear Lord, please help this precious little baby who has got leukemia. And our prayers have a different level of emptiness and a different level of need for fulfillment. They're real, though. That's a real side of the process of being human. There is this sense of void, of emptiness, of something missing from my life. And some people pursue it actively, and some people fill it up with the wrong thing. It's like trying to get a puzzle piece, but it really doesn't fit in that particular spot, and different things related to that. And you realize that those are not useful things in the totality of your life or our lives. And so that becomes part of the question or the problem or the situation. I picked this text because it's a don't give up text. You don't get to quit text. It's a hang in there text. It's the kind that you and I need periodically. We don't always need to hear it. It isn't something that we're constantly battling with. But inevitably, you know, we have situations in our lives and things that change quickly and things that don't change so quickly. We hear of situations and finally we go, oh my goodness, that person's out of the hospital already. Thank you, Lord. Or we're praying for someone and the conclusion of that prayer is they die. And that's the conclusion of that part of our life and that individual. But there are other situations that seem to go on and on and on. And those are the ones that seem to take it out of us, where we somehow want to give up, where we want to quit, where we don't want to stand our ground, where we don't want to believe that God is more than able to solve and deal with a particular problem that we're dealing with. And so when I grab this text, there are a couple of things happening in it. One, of course, is assurance that if you failed, you haven't failed God in the sense that he's given up on you. I think one of the reasons that we give up sometimes is we go, Lord, I've been praying for this thing for weeks or months or years, and I don't see what's going on. And instead, I see things getting worse. And instead, I see things not changing. And I want to quit. I want to give up. I want to shut down. And there's a part of us that does. There's a part of us that begins to neglect that prayer. There's a part of us that begins to cease to believe with the same kind of enthusiasm we may have had, you know, about our wife, our husband, our child, our situation, or whatever the problem is we're praying about, a country, a culture, a government, a situation that continues to stand itself in front of us, whatever the thing might be. And we need to be assured that God has not stopped listening. There is a part in this text that reassures you that God hasn't changed. He is fully aware when you start asking for something that he is going to respond to it, but we don't always know the answer. If you know Daniel, in the book of Daniel, here's a great prophet, Daniel, and he's got a great relationship with God, and there's a situation that he's in the middle of, and he goes, oh Lord, you got to answer this prayer, you got to answer this prayer, you got to answer this prayer, and God doesn't answer. And that goes on for a period of weeks. Until finally, I think after 21 days, the angel comes and gives Daniel the answer to his prayer. And Daniel says, how come it took you so long? And the angel says, I had to call on Michael to help break through the wickedness and the covering of the demonic forces over this particular city, country, and area. And you begin to go, there are other battles being waged than just my prayer being answered. There are other things at stake that God is investing in, which I may or may not be fully aware of. Timing to God is very important. It isn't something that just, oh my goodness, Bruce asked me to do this, I better get down there and take care of it. All right? Now, he's done that once in a while, and I sit there and go, my keys, right after I prayed, how did you do that? You know, and God says, you needed help. You just needed help today, right? And I don't doubt that, but I'm also aware that there's this other side of life that I don't want to diminish and I don't want to pretend doesn't exist, and that other side of life is the life of God. Have you become so disappointed in me and disheartened in me that you're not listening to my prayer, that you are somehow breaking your heart? And God whispers to you, he says, Bruce, you can't break my heart more than you already have. And I already loved you. And I will answer and deal with you by my grace, not by your behavior. And so part of the answer in the middle of this text is you start reading about Abraham and all the situations. I mean, you can go to this text and if you know that Dave alluded to it, the situation where Abraham's wife, Sarah, goes, I'm getting to be an old lady here. You know, why don't you have a baby with my servant girl, my slave? And I don't know what Abraham was thinking. We can all speculate and go in all different directions. He was an idiot. All right? He did it, caused the situation. When we get to this, though, and we start reading what the author of Romans, Paul, the Holy Spirit, begins to say about Abraham, we begin to read this, and the phrases start to come across. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now, I look at that and I want to know something very important. Abraham wasn't perfect. He fluctuated. If we make it as worse as we possibly can, in a moment of pure doubt, he listened to the counsel of his wife and did something that was wrong, against God, foolish, and in the culture acceptable, but not acceptable to God. If we put it in some other context, we might be able to temper it a little bit and make the stupidity a little less stupid or the disobedience a little less disobedient. But here's what I want you to understand about how God looks at Abraham. That in spite of all of this, up and down, that a real live human being goes through, he continued to remain faithful, trusting in the promise. And that becomes important because this is me. One day up, one day down, fluctuating a little bit one day or one week, and sometimes great extremes, and I begin to beat myself up. I begin to say, how and why would God ever listen to me? I begin to do all those things. I put myself under law. I put myself under condemnation, and the whole text says, stop it, because that's not how you're working with me. I have saved you by grace. I called you my child by grace. I threw you through the blood of my son, Jesus, and I will work with you even in your inconsistencies. I don't want to make excuses for my inconsistencies any more than you should make excuses for yours. But the dilemma is that sometimes we begin to feel God stopped loving me. Do you understand? Every one of my inconsistencies and yours, every one of my failings and yours were known by God before the world began. And that becomes that message of a gospel I tried to focus on last Sunday where I just, please hang on to this. Understand the relationship you have with God doesn't change because God won't change. God has this commitment to you and a willingness to work in your life and see you through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. In this context, we hear about the faithfulness of Abraham, and we are meant to be both challenged and encouraged. You understand? I want all my prayers answered, like, dear Lord, find my keys. Oh, there they are. Thank you. Good job. Dear Lord, help me find, right? That's what I want. Real life has never done that for me. And I don't think it's done that for very many of you. It isn't that God couldn't do that, or I can't believe he could do that. It's just that that's real life. It doesn't work that way. And so now the challenge comes as Abraham, will you wait when all the signs and signals around you seem to be collapsing? Do you trust that I'm in control? Do you believe I love your daughter, your son, more than you do? Do you believe I understand the situation as you struggle with it with your wife, your husband, your friend, your neighbor, your mother, your father, whatever the situation is? Do you believe that I understand exactly what's happening? No, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed by the circumstances. I think I will go have a different baby. Right? Welcome to Abraham's situation. He got weak. He got foolish. Stared at circumstances. Knew he was old. His wife was old. right? And then it comes back. And I think like all of us, oh Lord, how could I have been so stupid? How could I have been so far away? How could I have stepped in and not trusted your promise? You see, what I like about Abraham is the reality of the life that he lives that isn't so much more holy that I can't relate to it. I relate to the stupidity. I relate to listening to bad counsel and advice. I can relate to getting to the point where you've done it and then you go, oh my God, what have I done? How could I have been so stupid? Dear Lord, I'm trusting in you. If you said I will have a baby with Sarah, my wife, I will trust you. And when Abraham's body was 100 years old and Sarah's body was 90, it says, Abraham, still in faith, trusting in God, got the promise fulfilled. And that became part of the testimony that this whole thing is challenging us with. So it goes, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, part of the sermon is I want you to have faith that is real and credited to you as righteousness. But the part of the weighty part of the sermon is the challenge that says, don't give up no matter what the circumstances are that you're looking at around you. And you have to understand how personal these were for Abraham. Abraham was told this when he was a relatively young man. Sarah was still a young woman. Having children was well within the parameters of their life and everything else. And year after year and year after year and year after year, year after year, nothing happened. And so you have to understand, many of the struggles you and I have are interior. They're struggles with the realities of what's going on in my head, what's going on in my body, what's going on in my life. Those are real struggles and they're very powerful. Sometimes they come from the outside where people are trying to give you counsel and advice that they shouldn't be giving you. Or they're trying to lead you down a compromise path that you shouldn't be compromising yourself on. They come from outside, they come from inside, and in the middle of this struggle, it says that he did not lose heart. He says, a point that he's trying to make here, very importantly, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Any of your faith grown more as you got older? I hope so. But I also know it can go like this yet. I go, he's a 100-year-old man believing against all hope that God is more than able to answer his prayer, trusting what promise God made. God says all over in Scripture, I change not. When I make a promise, I will keep it. When you put your faith in a promise I have made to you, that's part of the challenge, that I've made to you, I will keep that promise. Some you'll get to see before you die. Some may not take place till after you die. Dear God, please save my son, my daughter. Well, of course, I want that to happen as quick as I found my keys. Hey, Dad, guess what? What? I'm a believer again. How cool. Wow, Lord, that only took 37 seconds. Well done, you know. It isn't working. Why? Because God is stretching me. Because God is calling me to be as Abraham was. And God will call you to be as Abraham was. It isn't what you want to hear. But he wants you to understand, I am more than able, and I will accomplish my purposes. I, the Lord, will take care of what I have promised you. And it goes on from that point. And he finishes it off when it says this. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, was raised to life for our justification. Who believed in him? I don't know about you, but some things are easier to believe than others. Some things are easier to trust than others. It's easier for me to ask, dear Lord, help me find my keys. I don't know where I put them. And to trust that God will help me find them. Than to trust that same prayer I've been crying out, oh Lord, save my good friend. Oh Lord. And yet at the same time, God is calling me to be faithful. God is calling me to pray for more room in my heart, to have more faith, to have greater obedience, to have greater trust, so that I can begin to grow up. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. If I would have been Abraham at 30, 40 years old, or however old he happened to be when this promise was made, I haven't, you know, God says, oh, Abraham, you've got all the faith you need. God says, no. You need to continue to grow in that. And then he tests that sucker again when he says, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. And again, Abraham goes, what do you believe, Abraham? What do you believe? And scripture points out, it says, believing that even if he went ahead and did what God called him to do, that God was more than able to raise that son back up from the dead. You understand? Abraham didn't get to be that man of faith by not living through those days, weeks, hours, and months of highs and lows, sometimes regrets, and whatever it is, until finally God can say about him, this is a man who put his trust in me and against all hope and against all odds did not give up. God is looking for those kind of people. God wants you to be Abraham in your family. God wants you to be the Abraham to your wife. God needs you to be the Abraham to your children. God needs you to trust in him fully, whether you had a great week or a horrible week, to know that what you've succeeded in or failed in, God is stepping into your life and will reach into your circumstances and help you again. And so that becomes this challenge. I need these kind of people. Why? So that they can be justified and declared not guilty before the throne of God. God is working to bring that truth into your and my life. And it works as well by answering the prayer as by making me pray it over and over again. And so here's our challenge for you and me. Dear Lord, help me to begin trusting fully in you and not quit. Pray with me. Lord, when I get looking at the world, I feel like Peter on the waves. I start to sink. When I think of a prayer that I've said to you, that doesn't seem to have been answered yet, I stare at the waves and I sink, Lord. I have been a man with feet that have melted and have turned to sand. And I've been a man who stood strong. But I need to know, Lord, the truth of this text, which says, you will love me in spite of what I am. And that you will reach into my circumstances and you will care about my prayers. And you will hear my cry of repentance. And you will see the pain and the inconsistency and the foolishness that distracted me and caused me to fall away. And you will still reach into this person's heart, every one of us, Lord, and love us beyond anything we can comprehend. Raise up, Lord, a spirit of Abraham in each one of us without compromise, with a determination to be faithful, to be found faithful at a young age or an old age, to be found faithful, trusting in you, believing every promise that you have ever written to us in your word. And Heavenly Father, I pray that for our lives today, that you would work in our lives to speak to our needs, to fill in those spaces and blanks where we have found ourselves to be emptied out. Lord, you are the puzzle maker, and you are the puzzle putter together. You are more than able to fill in pieces I've lost along the way. You are more than able to make me a complete man again. And so my faith is in you, Lord. I trust wholly in you. Complete me, that I might stand before you, a whole man, covered and saved by your blessings and your grace. Pray that for each one of us here today. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen.